Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late.
Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
place. Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody. I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up. Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Well, not a bad idea. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's 6 o'clock on Thursday. Where are your children playing? I'm here with comedians and guests for the day, Patrick Garrity.
What's up, everybody?
And Franco Taddeo.
Hey.
It's an Italian name.
Sure is.
Are you Italian?
I sure am.
Wow, that's nice. You like pizza? Because everybody
and
thinks
pasta too.
Everybody thinks I'm Italian.
Really?
But that's usually because I pull up my Z28 in pizza.
Yeah,
and it's not, you know.
I'm Canadian Italian, so we say Z28.
Z28. All right, that sounds even sexier. Yeah. All right. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's been an interesting time in comedy. You know, we're going to talk about something here. A couple things in the opening of the show. First of all, we're going to talk about the violence in comedy. People getting attacked on stage. I don't know if you saw some of this.
Sure did.
Our own Dean Napolitano got sucker punched in Daytona.
Yeah, I was just talking to Dean one. Like the day before that other video with Steve Brown.
Came out.
Yeah, crazy.
Is that the one in North Carolina that just came out?
I think that was South Carolina. Right?
Yeah, South Carolina,
Steve
right.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to be talking about knuckleheads on Facebook, friending, unfriending, and blocking.
Okay.
I've done quite a bit of that in the last, which is good. I'm at 5,000 friends now. So it's easy. Once somebody just pisses me off, it's like, get, you know, make room.
Yeah, I'm at 5,000, and I can see what I'm like. Then like 3 days later, I'll be like 4,999. I'm like, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I guess we're all, and every day you're like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, yeah,
why
yeah.
Why did I lose two friends?
What did
Facebook,
I say?
Facebook doesn't notify you. When
no, I know.
Like, I wish they would, because I got some shit to say.
Yeah. Which is probably a good thing, right?
You.
Well, I actually got an app that tells me who's unfriended me.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, the reason I do that
I'm not sure I want that, though.
Well, I do it because, you know, at least every time somebody friends you, like, oh, join my fan page. And I usually just do it to do it, you know. But, you know, but then some people do that, and then they don't, you're, like, if they unfriend you, I don't want to be following their fan page.
Right.
You know
right.
What I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah, I agree. Like, oh, I'm going to follow your page now.
Like, people do that on Twitter. They'll, like, follow you, and then you follow back, and guess what? 2 weeks later, they just pull the plug,
yeah, they
and they, you know, that's how they gather followers. That's like
yeah.
a trick.
Right. Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. And then it makes it look like they just, and then they still keep a small
exactly.
people they follow, so it looks like they're popular.
Exactly.
Yeah, I find Twitter and Instagram are the worst. They're like the one-night stands of social media, right?
Yeah. Well,
exactly. I'm just now utilizing Twitter. Like I.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are well, you on that?
I am now, yeah, because they can make the tweets longer now. Before, when it was short, I was like, man, I can't. Can't function
yeah, that's
in this
right.
tight box.
Yeah, it's too much. It was 100, what, it used to be 140 words.
Now it's 280.
Yeah, double.
Characters.
Yeah, characters, exactly.
So
280 words is like a book.
Now they're a little longer. I can. I got a little more. I feel.
Yeah. A little more room to spread my wings.
Yeah.
Express myself. I hate people on Facebook that I use voice text a lot, and my voice text sucks on my phone. So like one guy I recently unfriended and blocked because he was like correcting me. He was like, oh, based on your grammar, you're a moron. I go, listen, based on the fact you're grading my grammar on Facebook, yeah. you're an asshole.
Yeah, or you have nothing better
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, well, who the fuck, you know what I mean? You're going to, oh, you know, it's one thing if you, you know I mean? Like, oh, you use the wrong pronunciation. Like, what the fuck, you know? I don't know. I'm just done. So we're going to talk about that today. And listen, we're doing a show tonight at Goldfinger Comedy Club, located in Goldfinger, the Platinum Lounge. Pat Garrity's our headliner. Franco's going to be doing a guest spot. And also, by the way, he's going to be at Taurus, Freddie Stebbins' room tonight, if you're in Coral Gables area. Always a fun room. Go out there and catch him doing the closing the show there that tonight. But listen, I've been doing this booking thing for a while. And
it's a nightmare.
And I've had it. I'm at that point.
What's the worst part? Dealing with comics or club owners?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Either
you're in the middle, man. Like.
All, you know, the whole thing is I'm doing it, all the work and this and that. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Well, first of all, for $100, that's all I charge when I book a room. $100. And then the second part, you know, because, yeah, it opens up doors. You have a room, somebody else, you know, people, you get to meet comics. So that's been great. And plus, I've been able to have my own room, you know, my own room where I can work out my own shit. Every Wednesday night, I go. So that's been great. Yeah, stage time. Well, that's why anybody opens. Yeah,
legendary.
Right. So I mean, now the problem is, like we were talking about before the show, it's hard to get people's discretionary dollar. Like people aren't going out to shows anymore. They're going to say, "I'm going to sit home and watch Netflix."
Exactly. Netflix, or I mean, just video games too. Like video, like it's hard. It's just like your home. The home entertainment center now is pretty legit. It's hard to get people to come outside and do anything.
You know, when you got 3D video gaming, who the hell wants to go? And, you know, so it's challenging. Like last night at Tavolino's, there was a light show, it was like 20, 30 people in there. Like, I don't know.
30 people out of 50, that's still.
It wasn't
like,
too bad.
Like, yeah, that's like over, that's like 60% capacity at least.
Right.
You know, yeah, but the inverse of that is.
On a third.
Like, how many people would he have if he didn't have a comedy show?
Right.
That's the thing, right?
Right.
So, like, you have no one in the restaurant.
Right.
Now you have 30 people because you're providing entertainment. But, yeah, it's tough to, like, have people part with
and
their
it takes
dollar.
Time to build a show. Like, there's a Key West. Used to only be Thursday nights. Now it's Thursday, Friday.
Right.
Because they built it up. They you know, they did a good job running the room, you know. And it's packed out.
That's always a fun room. I did it once.
Yeah, it takes time. Yeah, it's a great
room. Tom Dustin's room. Now he's going to get a bunch of emails. Book me.
I'm saying like that's, you know, it takes time to build. Like you said, it's only been like 3 weeks, right, at this place?
Well, the Goldfinger, yeah, it's only been 3 weeks, and we'll see what happens to that tonight. You know, but...
And 30 people, that's not bad.
No, that wasn't 30 there. Goldfinger, we had like 10 and 20 people the first couple weeks we were there. Yeah, and but, you know, Tavolino's been around so long. You know, we had, like I said, we had 60 people in there when Richard Ross was there a couple weeks ago and Mike Kaplan. You know, those are names. So, you know, that was great. And... Yeah, but to me, it's a drama. It's like, oh, say, all of a sudden, it's like, all right, I'm unhappy. I'm happy. It's not. I'm like, oh, you know, I do this for $100. I'm like, you know, I gotta organize. You gotta make sure
you have to book.
You got it right. You gotta go for the booking. Then you gotta make sure people are there. And I gotta make sure the hotels
book good comics because all the comics that you're booking there, besides Kaplan and Voss, are your dudes like me, the people who don't really know.
Right.
So it's just like what I will do is like the people that do show up, I'll add the reputation of your club. Like, oh, so and so, like who's gonna be there? Who cares? Last person we didn't know was still great. Right. You know, that type thing.
And that's the weird part about it. You know, it's like. So we talked about maybe moving the Tavolino's from weekly to monthly and stuff, and then,
that's or even bi-monthly, like every other week.
Yeah. Any rate, so
why he's like bi-weekly every other week,
right? But you know, I'm at the point where it's like, you know what, I'm almost like either kibosh it, you know, like or move on. It's just, you know, it's getting old to me. You know what I mean? It's like, and like you talk, like not only is all that a pain in the ass, but all the drama that has you deal with booking comics.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, why don't you book me? You don't think I'm funny? And, you know, you have to deal with that. And, you know, and it's like, it's just the way it is. I mean, sometimes, you know, no comic ever wants to hear they're not funny or not good enough to work.
Or, I mean, there are comics that are funny, but, you know, they can only play a room every 6 months because they don't turn over their material.
Right.
It's not just a question of not being funny. It's a question of you want, just like a restaurant wants to make sure they offer different, like, dishes on their menu, you want to offer different jokes.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
And sometimes that's what it's like, dude, it's not like you're not funny, but unless you have 15 or 20 minutes that are new, I can't book you until, you know, next year or something.
Exactly.
You
know? And for the most part, aside from a few people at Tavolino's, pretty much everybody comes around once a year, if that. So that's been good, but we'll see what happens. You know, Tavolino's is a great place, great food, but we'll see what happens. And hopefully tonight, if you guys are watching, come out to Goldfinger and support live comedy. Otherwise,
for the love of God.
For love of God. I mean, really, what else are you going to do? Stay home and argue on Facebook? Unfriending people.
On that note.
Yeah. Just fucking crazy. By the way, I also want to give a thanks to Pat, because... early in my career, Pat was influential in getting me into Bonkers Comedy Club. I don't know if you remember that. You got me a guest spot at Bonkers in the old Crown Plaza.
I do remember that.
You remember that?
That was like, actually a good room. That was actually a pretty, like, it was like, that sucks, man. That was sad to see that room go. That was fun.
Yeah, no, that was, and so I got, you know, he took, you know, that's, when you refer a comic, that's asking a lot because the person sucks.
It is. It's because it's like, there's a very short list of comics that do as a vouch for, and if you go up there, the dude vouches for you, you eat shit, that reflects badly on the guy that vouched for
no,
you.
No, absolutely.
So it's just like, now it takes power away. Now I can't vouch for other, now my vouch is less.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly, you know? But, you know, and I went out there, and of course, you know, Joe said, I can feature you in my rooms. I'm like, great. About a year and a half later, I finally got booked. But that's the way it works, man.
Well, it took me 3 years just to get a feature date in Arizona at this one club.
Yeah.
You know, I was emailing him, and he's like, one of the emails, I was like, oh, I need a, I was like, hey, can you book out September? I'm available. I was like, here's, you know, I here's a list of clubs I headline around the country, blah, blah, blah. I'd love to come to a feature. He writes back, oh, I don't book out that far, which he does. And then he's like, oh, you headline? He puts headline in quotation marks around the country, but you'd feature for me. I'm honored. I'm like, dude. Like,
yeah, like I'm just trying to make a living. Right, why
right, right. Like,
attitude?
I'm not, like, this isn't me trying to be Kanye West writing this fucking email. I'm just telling you that this is what I do for a living, you know?
Isn't that amazing how, like, you talk about words on, like, especially in the not spoken, they're written, how people will just...
Can perceive them?
Like, yeah, bro, you're like, well, where'd you get that shit from? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
I mean, the guy's trying to be, you're trying to show humility and the guy's giving you attitude. It's like, come on, man, I'm just trying to make a living.
It's like sometimes...
It's what
like,
I do it well. Sometimes people bust let me show you.
Sometimes people bust your balls just to see how you react.
Like,
you know?
Could you imagine going into a job interview in the real world and the boss sits around, looks, takes a look at your resume and goes, oh, you think you're hot shit, huh? You're like, ah, oh, I just kind of want to work, you know? Trying to make a fucking living here, man.
You know what I mean? It's true. I mean, you know, the like, you know, like whenever I send avails to comics, especially clubs I haven't worked yet, you know, it's like you want to be politely aggressive, but you don't want to be like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think that's the perfect term. Yeah. You want to hustle it, but not like be annoying about
it. What, that's the thing, though. Yeah. It's just like it's up to them how annoying they want you to be. Because it's like I start off like one email a month. And if I don't hear from you for 3 months, then it becomes one email every 2 weeks.
Right.
If I don't hear you, then it becomes one email a week.
And
I'm gonna fucking start. Like, I have this weird obsession without wanting to starve to death.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this fucking, like, I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps me up at night. Like, last year, I had to sleep in my fucking car an entire month in May in Texas because I couldn't get bookers to get back to me. You know how much that fucking sucks?
Wow, yeah.
I'd rather avoid that if humanly fucking possible.
Hell yeah, man.
Sleeping in a fucking... was it Planet Fitness parking lot looking for trees to see if I could get that extra hour when the sun comes up from the fucking east. Like, this is shit, I'm doing it.
Dude, you're like a survivalist.
Yeah, it's just like the fucking past 9 years of my life, I feel like Indiana Jones running from the fucking boulder. You know, it's just like instead of me like with a priceless relic in my hand, just me with a phone like, did anybody have anything in February? Like, and just, you know.
See, that's the thing. Like, like we were talking about before the show, like, I have a situation where fortunately I have to worry about that because I have a job, my career, where I can work off my computer and a phone, a hotel, anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. So it's the pay I don't worry about. You know, it's the bookings I worry about.
So you
about.
Can be more discerning. You're like, I'm not putting up with that bullshit.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I won't mention the club. I headlined a club this summer, and it's kind of funny because now the guys treat me like, you know, this is the funny thing. I work this club, Thursday night crushed, Friday night two shows crushed. Matter of fact, the owner of the club came up to me at the bar. He's like, oh, he's patting me on the back. He's like all that. I'm like, hey, thanks. You know, because it was a great show. The Saturday late show, there's a fucking bachelorette party there. And they walked, like 15 girls walked out in the middle of my set. All because they had to go to a dinner. They had other plans.
Oh, yeah. That's totally fucking.
And I'm like, oh, what the, you know.
How's that on you, though?
Well,
I've had the same thing. I've been like, oh, we got to get to this other place. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. And you know, what? I don't know. But the guy's like, you know, he gave me one of these, oh, we'll get back, you know, we'll let you know kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, and I was part of me was like, hey, man, you know, when I was there, I crushed two or three nights. You came up to me, you know, and this and that. Well, you're not like not booking me because that goddamn bachelorette party walked out on me. Even the manager told me that. He goes, oh, they said they had to go somewhere and stuff. And then you don't know if the guy's just trying to be nice to me. Like, they came up and said something. He's like, he didn't want to piss me. I want you to, you should tell me if they left because of me.
Yeah. It's, truth is freeing, man.
I'm not
and
scared.
And you can work on it, right? If somebody tells you what you did wrong, then you're like, oh, okay.
If you don't have thick skin, you shouldn't be in this fucking business.
Right. Exactly. I don't know. Listen, and if, you know, if a comic, you know, when a comic asks, what do you think of my set? Be ready for whatever. Just understand it can happen.
All right, you're asking for it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think as long as you're constructive, I mean, if you want to grow, somebody has to tell you what you need to, like, do to grow.
The best advice I got when I started was the honest advice, you know? I remember a guy saying to me, he goes, man, you got a lot to learn, dude. And it was true. I was only a year or so into my comedy. If that's how
you should be constantly. I'm 17 years in. I'm still trying to learn shit.
You know? Well, let's stay on this subject for a minute. I'm in my 11th year. How long have you been doing
this,
Franco?
I've been doing comedy. This is going to be my 20th year.
Wow, okay. And you're 20th. In your 17th. you know, they say there's periods like the 10 year mark. If you're not working and things aren't happening, it's probably a good time to hang up the boots, they say, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think in Canada, the curve is much steeper because it's a smaller market.
Right.
If you're not working after 5 to 7 years, it's time to give up.
It's time to give up.
Yeah. Right. Possibly Yuck Yucks is like a huge monopoly up there.
Yeah, exactly. Now the good thing is that there are independent rooms in every city, but you're absolutely right. Like they run it like the mafia. And if you're not in there, then you're in trouble, right?
Yeah, that's the room you want. It's like down here in South Florida. You want to be in the improvs. You want, yeah. You know? And then you had a battle. That's one of the things I did. I wasn't getting in the improv early when other people were, but I reached out to work feature work in Bonkers and Groucho's and all these other places.
Yeah, if you can't get work here, get work there. Because, I mean, that stage time isn't, like, doesn't, like, that's another reason, like, there's a difference between, like, an L.A. comic and a New York comic and working the road. I prefer to work the road. First of all, I like getting paid. And paid work in L.A. and New York is slim to none unless you're a fucking name.
Right.
And if, even get quality stage time there. So, like, even if you're getting an open mic, you're going up 5-7 minutes. So you're gonna have to build your set 5-7 minutes at a time for however, like, shitty open mics. Meanwhile, when you work the road, you get an hour. I can get 4 hours of stage time headlining some clubs in a weekend. You know how long it takes to get 4 fucking hours in LA of quality,
absolutely.
Like with people paying, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. I have buddies that are like name headliners in Canada. They moved to LA and they're getting 5 to 7 minutes. You know how hard, it's even harder to deconstruct from 50 minutes to 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's really
good. I mean, that's what I'm finding like now that I like
smaller sets
here,
are real hard for
people
me.
People are like, hey.
It takes 5 minutes for me to say hello.
Yeah, know? People are like, hey, can you do 8 to 10? I'm like, I'm doing an hour back home.
Yeah.
How do I do 8 to 10, you know?
By the way, thanks. Bobby Collins says, go get him, Dougie. Thanks, buddy. You know, it's true. Like last night, I went to Off the Hook Comedy Club because I was going to feature for someone. And I went there expecting to do like 25 or 30. Yeah. And they said, no, you're doing 15. I'm like, oh, okay. You know,
even 15 is still double digits. Like I could like.
Yeah, you can work it out. That's two or three
people
sets.
People are telling you 8 to 10. You're like, what?
No, that's like the contest. I always tell people when you go to these festivals, there's contests and make you do 5 minutes. That's a challenge. It is, you know, because now you try. Do I pack?
Well, everybody
every funny
got
joke?
5 minutes too. They're like, how the fuck?
Yeah.
Supposed to judge? Like,
yeah, you can get some guy that could, you know, do his best 5 minutes and smoke off the stage, and meanwhile, that's all they got.
That's all. Yeah, there's guys in LA and New York that they have like an amazing 8 to 10, but that's all they have, right?
Right.
But I guess they don't want to be working comics. They want to get a job writing. I don't know, right? But I know that what I like to do is like get on stage and have time to like get to, it's like a date, right? And you get like you get to
connect.
Know the audience, you connect, you tell
yeah.
them stories and you bring them up, you know, and but there's comics that are like New York is very much like what can you show me? They don't care.
Right.
Like you got 7 to 10 minutes, it better be brilliant and get off. And that's what they write for.
And we were talking like Al Martin and Steve Marshall in the studio last week. And you know, they were talking about back in the day, it was like New York comics hated road comics. You know, because those guys would be on
it's
the
still
road.
Still like that.
Yeah.
You
know, it's like...
And like, I get... Like, I feel it when I go to New York and LA.
Yeah.
Know, you work the road like it's a fucking cruise ship or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is a lot different.
But LA comics and New York comics hate one another. So it's like...
Yeah.
It's all about hate, right? And then people that are working comics hate cruise comics. Like, it's just, in the end, let's love.
Well, you know, that you're right. He's Canadian. Look, this guy's trying to spread love in the Maple Leaf.
I'm going to apologize soon for...
Listen, I agree. I get along with everybody until they piss me off, and then I'm ready to just fucking strangle somebody. Yeah. You know, I'm at that point. I've just had enough. Like I'm very tolerant about everything, and I'm very understanding. But when somebody keeps like at it, I'm like, oh, this person just needs to get stomped. It's interesting. You're on the road, and everybody talks about your car.
Yeah.
Your car is signed by thousands of people from the road, and a car is running. What kind of car is it?
Well, this is actually the second one. I had a 90. The first one I started like because I've been pretty much homeless since 2010. So I had this car. It's a 90. It was a 94 Honda Accord, and I started having people sign it in 2015. And it was like because every month something be wrong with it. Like it was like this piece of shit new. I was trying to get rid of it. Anytime I got a little bit of money saved, it's like, oh, I saw you look at that Hyundai distributor cap, and something else would fucking go wrong. So I was like, well, if I'm gonna be stuck with this thing, I'm gonna make it cool. So if I'm making repairs in it, so I have people sign it and start showing the love instead of being frustrated with it. And now I turn my piece of shit into a piece of art.
Right.
You know, and it's just like the repairs didn't sting as much.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, this is cool. And it was a good way to interact with people. And I had 387,000 miles on that 94 Honda Accord before I wrecked it in Iowa. I hit a deer. And then so then I had to put a GoFundMe up and I was stuck. And then my fans, family, and friends all chipped in. Everybody chipped in a little bit. And then I was able to get this CRV. and it was green when I first got it. I had to paint it white like after 2 months. So I wrecked the car in April, and then June of 2016, I had to paint it white, and then I had to start people signing it again. So it's about a year and a half now. It's nice. Been running around.
That's, yeah, you're right. That's, I mean, I applaud that because, like I said, you know, being out there and you're trying to get the work and what. And all, I mean,
so what do you do after shows? People come and sign it?
During the show, I'll be like, hey, I got my car outside if you guys are interested. Ah. I was like, I let everybody sign. I make jokes about it. Like, don't draw any dicks on my car, blah, blah, blah. And then I let everybody come out and sign the car. So I got like paint markers. And I try to rush out there first, and I take all the caps off. I keep the caps. That way people aren't like, oh, this is my fucking marker now. And then take my $4 marker. So I just put them all around the top, and then I take pictures of everybody, and I make montages of like signing it from around the country.
It's almost like a good way to get people to remember you. Hey, that's
exactly.
It's like a big cast. Right. It's like when you break your arm, everybody signed my cast.
Right.
Yeah, and it's white like a cast.
And it's just like this business is all about hustle, and it's also like that car is a reflection of my hustle. Like it takes a lot of work to get that many signatures to get them looking like that badass, you know.
Yeah.
And I started. This one's different from the old one is. Because I also started putting, I hand draw the logos of all like my favorite clubs that headline me and shit that like believe in me.
Is it out in front?
Yeah, it's right
I
out
can't
here.
Can't wait to have a take a picture of him.
Definitely, that's a good idea. Yeah. Now you're in Canada, like you said, it's interesting. Yuck Yuck, which is the club of Canada.
Yeah, that's a chain.
The chain, okay.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's it. So are you in with those
guys?
So
I work all the independent rooms. The independent rooms tend to pay you better, take better care of you. And tend to have better audiences, right? Because yucks, like most chains, they try to, you know, lowest common denominator. So they try to pay comics as little as possible. So as soon as you get good enough, you leave and you do independent rooms.
Oh,
and
really?
Luckily, I can do that, you know?
That's interesting, that's it's, you know, the
it's
pay.
Got yucks are into it. It's kind of like a factory, right?
Right.
And you don't want to be in the factory for more than 2 to 5 years. I always tell young comics, get in, work with yucks. They'll work you 35 to 40 weeks a year as a feature. You'll be working poor. But if you're still there, everybody I know that's still with yucks more than 5 years hates doing comedy.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah, it is. Well, you know, it's like, like when you first start, like when I first started New York Comedy Club in Boca was my home club. And I didn't get paid to host, but I didn't really care. You know, again, I was making money. I had money. You give me $25. What's that going to do for me? But at the same time, I was just, all I cared about was stage time. That's, you know, I was hosting once a month.
Early on, that's all you care about.
That's all
but
I cared
eventually
about.
Eventually you
want
to eat.
Yeah, eventually, yeah. You know, you want to make on, like I'm in my 11th year now. Like I'll be headlining Kazi's Comedy Club this weekend. You know, there's certain rooms I'm headlining. I'm at that transition period. And I'm still at that. I'm in no hurry. Like if somebody says, "Well, you feel hell yeah," it's the easiest spot on the show.
I have no problem working my way up the ladder, but put me on the fucking ladder.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I want to know I'm on that ladder.
Right, and don't act like the clubs that I do headline ain't shit.
You know?
Like if I'm headlining this many fucking what's the worst that's gonna happen? Right. Oh, this guy's headlining fucking 20 clubs around the country.
Yeah,
like all over the country.
Yeah, how bad could he be?
Yeah, what the? And I've been doing it 17 fucking years. Like, yeah. What the what's gonna happen?
It's not like you're a guy who goes out. And somehow you sneaked in and you end up headlining.
Yeah, if you're
headlining never going
a club,
back.
You know, headline a club, right?
Yeah. Right.
You know,
no, I headline a lot.
I had a guy who I don't want to give the guy any more press. I busted my ass to get into this one club in Florida for years. I finally got in. The club was sold to a guy who was trying to do comedy, and he wanted a feature for me at Tabellino's. And I knew he was horrible, but I'm like, I want to give the guy a shot somehow. So I gave the video to the owner, and he thought he was horrible. So I said, dude, I can't. I didn't get a thumbs up. Guess who's not working anymore? I'm not working at his club anymore.
That's shooting the messenger, but that happens in this business, right?
It's yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that shit does happen, man. It's just like, you know, I had a guy not work. Like, he's a comic, but he was booking a club, and then I'm headlining a club that he can't even feature at. And now I can't work his club.
Because he's envious. Yeah,
he's a prick. He's an asshole. Let's face it.
In this business, I always say that it's when you're a name, you get doors open that sometimes talent won't open. Right.
Talent doesn't matter in this business anymore.
It helps. It helps.
Yeah, you need it, you know? But it's not all like, the Catch Me Outside girl has more likes than fucking Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
If you want to, like, yeah, thank God she's rapping and not doing comedy.
Yeah.
She'd be getting up weeks.
Well, there's she would, but she'd only do it once. Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. If she sell out the place, she'd do
it. They don't care. The club wouldn't care.
Asses and seats is what matters,
you know,
buddy.
Like,
I just made a video about this, man. I was like, back in 1987, that the Tonight Show was a great credit when there were six fucking channels and half the population was watching that particular show at that particular time. But now it's Netflix, Comedy Central, YouTube, HBO, fucking people. The Tonight Show might as well be a grain of sand on a fucking beach.
Yeah,
you know, like that doesn't, there's people who have with James Johansen has been on or no Jake Johansen has been on a Letterman like more than any other comic. He could walk down this nobody, you know what I'm saying, he's not, nobody's like, oh, that's Jake Johansen.
Yeah, right.
And there's people with fucking Comedy Central specials that aren't drawing shit because it's just so much, it's so fucking saturated.
Right.
So you got to make yourself stand out. You look at that kid Ryan Davis. You know what I'm talking about, Davis. Yeah. Dude, he started making those internet videos. He literally goes, I went from opening people to having a national tour because you fucking asses and seats.
Yeah.
That's all
it,
that's all if it you is. Don't put asses in seats, all you are is a baby bird. Just chip, chip, chip.
Yeah.
And like, and fucking, yeah. And then bookers are like, who wants Paducah, Kentucky on a Tuesday? No, I want it. Like, fucking hotel? Nope, no hotel. Make your own arrangements, you piece of shit.
That's great. That's amazing when somebody says, we don't offer you a hotel. You know?
Yeah, like.
At the feature position, if you're going to a lot of places, because there's so many comics now, especially if it's busy, they'll just use locals. Why the fuck would you pay, put up?
True.
So it just makes it that much harder. It's just because comedy is at an influx right now where there's so many people think they could do this shit.
Yeah.
By the way, with that being said, for you comics or entertainers on the road, go to Ignite Hospitality if you want to find a cheap room. Contact my buddy Adam Wagner because he'll stay at a 5-star hotel for $25 a night.
That's amazing.
Ignite Hospitality. Look those guys up. It's true, no, like, and that's, you know, like, again, that, you know, I want to work a room. I did Looney's Comedy Corner in Colorado Springs, and they didn't, you know, they don't offer it to the feature. I'm like, all right, well,
Much run for par for the course, though, in Canada, too.
Yeah.
You don't get, if you're featuring, they don't offer you a room.
Yeah, it's
headliner and MC, but.
But, like, when I first started, it was, like, features get put up, too, but that's, I mean, that was, it was more of a down, like, I started in, like, 2001. So, I mean, there was before cell phones were big, before the internet was around, but there wasn't this much social media.
Right.
Around, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there are people that cannot tell a joke, but they're filling out, like, theaters because people know them from social media. I mean, just for laughs, I won't name the comic, can they see me? Comic? Last year, they featured this, like, female internet star, and she sold out 5 shows within 4 hours. I've never heard of her. And she doesn't tell jokes. She's like an internet sensation. She's not a comic. You go up on stage and, like, maybe she ate shit or maybe they buffered the show around her with real comics.
Yeah.
But they don't care. They're like, hey, this person sold out 5
it's
shows.
Business, man. Yeah. So, show business. That's like Monique telling people to fucking boycott Netflix. Well, let's crunch the numbers. Because she's comparing herself to Amy Schumer. You got to look up on phone right now.
Yeah, so
you're
Chris look, Rock.
Chris and, Rock and Dave Chappelle. Okay, first of all, Amy Schumer got like, I want to say 4.5 million followers on Twitter. And she got another 5 million on Instagram. Chappelle got like 4.5 on Twitter. And he got like another however many million. And Chris Rock is in the millions for his shit. Right? And Chappelle got paid that much money. He said 3 specials.
Right.
3 in a row.
Right.
3 in a fucking, you know how fucking hard that is to write 3 fucking specials.
You gotta go 10 years to
right.
get
Jesus
they're
Christ.
Good.
You know, yeah.
They're
fucking
good.
And his history, like the Chappelle Show. Yeah. The Chappelle Show alone on Facebook still has over a million likes.
Yeah.
So Chappelle's getting like 20 million. Amy Schumer is like 5-6 million. She got 11 million, right? So you go look at Monique, her following on each forum, she's around 260 or 50,000.
Yeah,
right.
A fraction of it.
Right. But if you look at it mathematically, it still adds out. Like $2 per follower is probably the average.
Right.
And I can prove this is a fucking fact because if you give me 5 million followers right now on each fucking forum, I bet you I could get 10 million on a fucking Netflix special.
Cause sounds like because
that's basically the crunch numbers right now.
And by the
way, I'm not even that good at math, but I figured this shit out.
And by the way, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show fans, it's boycott Monique. Yeah, she wants us to boycott Netflix. I'm boycotting.
You know, I worked with her. She was a sweet lady, but I'm just saying this is how the business has changed. She needs to understand that it's a fucking numbers game.
Do you think her getting on there is going to help her career or fuck her career a little bit with that? What she did?
I'm not going to say what the fuck I would do. But if she was like, if you really look at the numbers, with you know, if you go, okay, it's not about the like when she goes,
Oh, Amy Schumer sold out Madison Square Garden. Yeah, she sold out Madison Square Garden. That's on her resume. And like, you got an Oscar, but that's not stand-up comedy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. This is a fucking, like, yeah. what was your last special?
Yeah.
Like, I remember Chris Rock's Bigger and Blacker is one of the most acclaimed fucking specials ever made.
Right.
Same thing with Chappelle. Chappelle's got a history of making specials. She was on the Queens of Comedy, but that's her and three other chicks on the fucking, on the goddamn special.
Right.
So, you know, you have to individually fucking make, like, D.L. Hughley, whatever his numbers are, I bet you if he's got 3 million followers, and he's going to be able to get, like, fucking $2 per follower. Joe Rogan's got, like, 5 fucking million. I don't know how much he got for a special, but his special was fucking excellent.
Right.
And
right.
I don't know how much he got paid because he's not bitching about it.
Right.
You know? It's just, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, one thing I found about this comedy business, it's never good to complain, especially in social media.
Dude, you
about
look
shit.
Like an asshole. Fucking yeah. Kathy Griffin looks like a fucking huge asshole right now. This is like, you want to shake your fist and say shit's not fair? Like,
look like an entitled asshole.
Right.
Absolutely. And you have to know your worth. And I'm no one saying Monique's not funny, but she's not at the level that she's comparing herself.
Right.
And the numbers show it. It's
she,
not a
what she should have done. What
right?
she should have done is taken that money, did that special, increased her fucking
of
numbers,
course.
Gone
build.
From yeah, build,
we
and then come back
about,
from another special.
We're just
then
talking
get your
about
money.
Where we're at, where we don't have so much like to show humility. They're like, yeah, I'll feature and I'll blow the headliner off the stage. Do that. Don't say I'm too good to feature, and then you never work the
right,
club.
Right.
It's the same thing with her. Do the special, rock it out of the house, and then ask for more money.
Yeah,
it's that entitlement shit.
Even after 17 years of doing this, like, you know, am I capable of a headline? Do I headline? Yes, I headline, but I know my numbers. I know my following is straight up garbage. So they're booking me as a fan. There's tons of funny dudes
absolutely.
Out there, man.
Yeah.
So they're giving me opportunities. Like, that's fine. You give me the opportunity to feature. You let me do the work to show you.
Yeah.
But I have no fucking problem doing that, you know?
And accept that. You know, the comics you're watching and listening, when somebody says that, you know, the worst thing is just like, you don't know what you're talking about. I always love when comedy club owners sometimes show me emails they get, you know, from people like, you had so-and-so there a few weeks ago. I'm funnier than that fucking guy. I'm like, oh, that'll get you right on the list.
Yeah, that's the worst strategy, man.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I work with this guy, and he's like, you know, he's been bugging me. Like, I book shows back home in Canada, and he's like, dude, you got to book me. I'm so much funnier than this guy. I'm so much funnier, which is, first of all, bad to do. But then you get on, and you're not funnier than all the people you claimed you were funnier.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You're dead to me.
Right?
You are dead to me.
You got to be in touch with your audience. Yeah. And here's it. I don't like saying, like, oh, I'm better than that guy or I'm better than that guy, but I do look at motherfuckers. I'm like, they're not better than me, though. Like, I'm the same, like, caliber of, like, right. whatever, you know, like, I know what the fuck I can do. I know what I bring to the table, you know, so I think that's, you know, in itself, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to know your self-worth, but it's a balance between right. making sure they know you can do it and them not being annoyed by the fact that you know they can. It's
Yeah, it's very, like, fucking edgy thing.
Well, you know, what I wanted to do was we're gonna keep with the opening part of the show. Because I definitely want to talk about this subject matter being attacked on stage. You know, it wasn't a surprise that Dean Napolitano got attacked in Daytona, which is a notorious, unpoliced, you know, rowdy
right,
kind of
area.
Right,
but also Dean is like one of the nicest dudes.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, there's nothing offensive about any of his material. He's like one of the most, like, likable, charismatic.
Yeah, so what, you know, what threw this guy
was
off?
Was
fucking
a, at
psycho.
A comedy club?
I don't
know. Yeah, that's
the guy
ridiculous.
Was in the back room. Yeah, and then he had his back towards the stage, and his woman was chit-chatting. And he was like, yo, you need to be quiet. You know, he's like, blah, blah, blah. So she was switched to a different guy, this guy that attacked Dean, whose back was towards the stage. So she starts talking to him. He's like, oh, now you're talking to this guy. This guy's not even fucking facing the stage. He's like, hey, buddy, you don't go to a movie and stare at the projector. He's like, give me a shot. You know, he's, you know, New York Times, but still, that's nothing offensive.
Yeah.
And you're like, at a comedy club.
Yeah. Right? And he's like, look at this chick. He's like, are you the serial killer of eardrums of dudes in fucking Orange County? Like, he just, you know, he's making a joke. And then the guy gets up calmly and starts walking the stage. And Dean was like, hey, buddy, what's your name? Like, he was just, like, interacting with him. Dude, one motion, stepped on stage and haymakered him. And fucking, like, his whole, he's like, I was like, dude, your lips fucked up, your cheek was full. He's like, yeah, when he hit me, the mic hit him in the face. He fell down on his side. Fuck, you know, I'm like.
Yeah, by the way, I'm going to, instead of a comedy school or comedy class.
Did the club force him to finish the show?
He said he would have, but everybody was like, the cops took forever to get there. There was
done.
So much commotion.
It's done, yeah.
Yeah,
it was like the grand opening fucking show. It was like the maiden voyage.
Right. That's right. The new Bonkers Daytona Comedy
Free publicity.
People talk about opening comedy classes, like teaching kids. I'm going to be teaching comics how to defend themselves. I'm going to have a comedy self-defense class.
Yo, if you come on the stage, like, I'm a fucking Sparta kick you right in your chest.
I had a guy one time, I'm doing a show. I had my t-shirts like near the bar, and the guy was like being an asshole, grabbing my t-shirts, throwing them at my own t-shirts at me. And I said something, the guy's like, he got real aggressive, and I ended up taking the mic stand, and I'm a martial artist, I know how to wield weapons. So I took the mic stand, and I fucking flipped it in my hand, and if that guy would have came onto the stage, he would have ate that mic stand. Not like what happened in South Carolina when the mic stand flew into the fucking air, the base of it.
That guy seemed like he was attacking that comic for like 20 fucking minutes and nobody was doing shit.
That's the thing I was amazed. Where was like, the staff?
Fucking nobody staff? Left up that dude.
Where's the staff, man?
Like, and kudos to Steve Brown. That was a comic, right? Steve Brown. That fucking guy, his wherewithal for how big that stage was and being able to know where, like, I would have lost my, like, I would have forgotten where the fucking stage ended and when, like, fell off and broke
obviously,
my fucking neck.
Obviously, the guy who runs off stage was the audience member, right?
No, the guy that threw the fucking mic stand was the audience member. Okay. The dude dodging for his life was the comic.
Yeah, bro.
And well fucking done, by the way, for how
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Right?
You see
I mean,
him
yeah,
chucking,
I was like, dude,
there,
that
man.
Was fucking.
Looked like Neo.
Yeah, right? Look, yeah, he was just so, like.
I would have still run away.
Right, no, I mean, like, but I mean, like, he doesn't want to get hit in the back or whatever. Course, you know what I'm saying? His wherewithal for how well he handled that situation is fucking impressive.
Amazing, yeah.
And thank God that was a big ass stage to move around like that. Was a bonkers. I mean, he's just been beaten to death.
I know. I kind of had to laugh though because they were throwing punches from like 15 feet away, which I, you know, and but yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, the thing I was amazed with, nobody from the staff. Where was
security? I was just the insanity of it is you saw how long it went on. Yeah. Where's the staff?
Like that.
Ties into not valuing your talent. They're like, yeah, he's on his own. Yeah. We paid him.
Fuck him.
Yeah, he's fending for himself.
Yeah.
But that's insane. Come on. I mean, any legit club has a bouncer, even a bartender. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Stop right. Yeah. I mean, I had a guy in Daytona, wanted to try to approach the stage. A bartender leaped over the fucking counter and got to the dude before he even, like, fucking got halfway to the stage and got in his shit. I was like, you need to get the fuck out of here. Kicked him out. And I was like, see you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they got to do something. There's got to be, you know, and there's all this going on. Don't ever, if you're a comic and somebody tries to get up on the stage, you got to keep them from getting on that stage.
Audience videos,
that's
like
your space.
You're like, look.
That's
I'm,
your space.
That's,
you're
yeah,
like,
I'm
you
not gonna,
when you get on the stage, you invaded my territory.
Yeah,
you and then something has to happen. Ideally, not by you, the comic, but by the staff.
Yeah.
But something has to happen because that space.
No, that video,
that
dude dodging for his fucking life.
Yeah,
that's
insane.
That's like that should hold up in court for a few. Like, look, I don't want this to be me because I'm not that agile.
Of course.
You know, like, so I kicked the fucking guy in the chest because I was afraid.
Hell yeah.
Attack me.
Listen, if somebody approaches and tries to jump on the stage, that's assault right there. Because they're breaking that. And, you know, that old push kick, you know, you got to learn that push kick, guys. You know, if you want to learn the push kick, get up against a tree, put your palm of your foot into the tree, and work that muscle, man. Just try to pop, just shake the coconuts off the fucking coconut tree. Listen, that's no playing around. And I feel bad for anybody ever tries to jump on my fucking stage. Because I'm hoping somebody videos it. Because that you talk about getting viral, I'm going to be a fucking headliner a week later. I'm going to be all over the fuck. I'm going to be on the fucking
marquee. It's all about name recognition. What you do, as long as they spell your name right.
This guy's pretty funny. He's decent, but
I think that needs to be part of the announcements along with turn your cell phones off.
Yeah.
Don't go towards the stage or you'll be kicked in your fucking chest. All right, there we go, folks. Enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Don't be the person.
Yeah, you're gonna hit the ground if you try to get to the stage. Now maybe that's just something I should open up and do. I don't know. What the fuck? Anyway, hey, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm here with our special guest today, Franco Tadeo.
Yeah.
And of course Pat Garrity will be our headliner tonight at Goldfinger Comedy Club at Goldfinger Gentlemen's Lounge in the Platinum Lounge. It's a separate from the strip club, so ladies, come with your men and have fun. And it's a great place, newly renovated. And of course, Frank will be joining us as a guest spot as well. Will Lopez will be our feature. And if you're in Miami, go to Taurus tonight around 9 o'clock. And Franco's going to be closing the show. And with that said, we're going to come back after a little break here, and we're going to have Straight from the Headlines right after this.
Hi, this is Ty Rivera, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. He's not a dickhead, and he's not popping peas.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
We got a very noisy newsroom here in the studio. Welcome back to the show. It's time for Straight from the Headlines.
With typewriters.
That's right. Typewriters. Exactly. You're the first person, only Canadian, smart. See, these guys are so smart compared to so stupid Americans. We talk about stories from around the world to make fun of them. Like, here's an ironic situation. Marijuana entrepreneur killed in a fiery Lamborghini crash, and he was drunk. If he was high, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we don't make any self, I partake. I smoke here and there. I'm not a big drinker. You guys have legal marijuana in Canada?
That's right. July 1st, it's legal, but you could still get it now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard. Underground market.
That's what it's funny. When they're talking about legalization, I'm like, no one worries about, oh, no, don't catch me with my weed. You know, it's like you're 15 years old and you're drinking beer in the student parking lot
of
high school.
I think it's cool that we're legalizing it and a lot of states have done it because, might as well make some tax money off it because everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
And, fund schools.
Right. Like, here's the thing I think, as insane as it sounds, could be completely plausible. All right. So Colorado, just for example.
Yeah, in Washington.
Like Canada, since the whole country is about to be legalized, this would be a great option for you. As a country, weed's legal, and then you can make plastic out of hemp. Why not make plastic illegal? How is that not a thing? Since it's fucking the pollution alone.
They just found plastic in a fish, like a fish.
Right. The Caribbean. There's a whole fucking island of 3 miles long of plastic. For instance, during Prohibition, this is a real thing. The Rockefellers made alcohol illegal, not just because it's morally bad and dudes are beating their wives and shit, but also because that's when the fucking engine came out. And they were making all alcohol, and engines could run off ethanol, which is a type of alcohol. So they made all that shit completely fucking illegal. So now
they could have access.
Right, so they could monopolize the entire fucking thing. And they also did, this is on this documentary called Pump. So back in the day when there was San Francisco had all the trolley cars. Well, there was supposed to be a trolley car system the entire fucking country. You were supposed to be able to take a trolley car from fucking San Francisco across the United States.
To Washington.
Right. So Rockefeller and whoever the other motherfuckers back then that were doing the gasoline made a fake company and bought out the trolley car. There's literally a fucking picture of them shaking hands in front of a bonfire of fucking trolley cars.
Hmm.
So now they could now it would be just roadways and then you have to pay for fucking gas.
Yeah.
So that's how they,
I believe that. You went into Iraq on weapons of mass destruction. It was oil. It's oil.
Right. Well, there's still some suspicion that Saddam Hussein transferred that shit to Syria during the years leading up to the Gulf War, but
sure.
That's what I'm saying. So if you had the money, why not set up a place, a little factory called Hemptastic Plastics, and then take your money and push through a politician, just like the Rockefeller, just like a lobbyist do with their shit,
right,
and buy your own politician to be like, look, first order of business, plastic is illegal.
And we make it with hemp.
And we make it with hemp, and then you got to fight. And if you want to make plastic bottles, you got to come to our fucking factory. Boom, you make money.
Not a bad idea. See?
Yeah, we're not doing the show tonight. We're investing.
I wish I had money. Somebody in Canada needs to fucking do that with an entire country like that.
Yeah,
plastic's illegal here. That in certain European countries, Monsanto is illegal. They can't get right. So what the fuck is the difference between having plastic? Why not make plastic illegal?
There you go. You're
preaching to the converted.
The founder of the San Diego County Hemp Products Empire, who died in a fiery Lamborghini crash in November, had a blood alcohol content that was more than twice its legal limit. Michael Yamas, 33, was speeding. Fucker, 33 with all that money.
That's the same age Jesus died, wasn't it?
I think so.
My mom tells me.
Yeah, he was 33.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had a Lamborghini. Was speeding north on Harbor Drive in downtown San Diego when he lost control and veered off the road near Broadway about 2 a.m. Lamborghini was driving, struck a palm tree. It's never a good thing.
That would never happen in Canada. No palm trees.
There's no palm trees.
You'd be alive.
Yeah. You guys have other trees, though, right?
Maple, right? The leaf? It's on our flag?
Is that tree a little more
That's how tough we are.
Yeah. Is it like a little more resistant? Like if you hit it, it'll just plow over?
No, I'm pretty sure it's stronger than
a maple tree. So I want to get back to this. Sorry to keep harping on this, but I just want to talk about this one last thing. So the difference, if you had a factory, say, Hemptastic Plastic, and then you made plastic illegal, and then you'd make money off the fucking factory that makes the Hemtastic plastic shit.
Right.
What's the difference between that and what Jeff Sessions is doing as far as trying to make weed illegal, like, so he can, because he's invested in private fucking prisons. That's a fucking, you know,
right.
You know, so it's basically prisons are like fucking hotel rooms now. If it's not occupied, then they're not making money.
Right, right.
So the more laws there are, the more of laws course, that can yeah. be broken, and you can throw motherfuckers in there. Like, what's the
and
fucking
the more money you make.
Right. What's the difference between that? Like, how is that not, like,
yeah,
fucking a thing?
Well, those are the people in control,
I think,
man.
Yeah, because the good guys are stupid and the bad guys are smart. Right?
So I'm saying we need somebody, a good smart guy to fucking make
yeah.
a goddamn...
Tesla. We need Tesla. What's his name, that guy?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, man.
Yeah, well, he's going far with his tubes. He's trying to bring those what are they called? The loops? We know.
When did this become a current affairs show?
I know. It was fucking comedy.
Next, documentary on the family in Darfur.
If my focus for the podcast would just be interesting.
It's got to be, exactly. Here's a story. Something shocking happened in Florida after an Alaskan earthquake. You know, big in Alaska, they had the big earthquake a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Big tsunami warning and everything. You know, and I'm big on this. I've been watching this stuff. Like, when the Super Bowl... You're in the middle of the Super Bowl. There's like a huge asteroid that's only going to pass like 20,000 miles away from Earth. They just spotted it just a couple days ago. You know, we're think about, like, we talk about this and fighting and people asking and unfriending and politics and everybody's fighting. Meanwhile, it could, you know, a fucking volcano can blow up
and we can be done.
And we're all sitting there like scavenging for.
I think that's why we need to discover aliens to realize we're all one race.
No. Right? Yeah, so I'm saying it's like you have no idea how often I'm so sick of fucking religious bullshit
right?
and racism that I have my fingers crossed for a fucking alien invasion.
Yeah,
just so like people could put their petty fucking differences.
Say, hey, we're all
like,
one.
Oh, yeah.
We all bleed. Red.
It's like Independence Day,
right? I mean, you like, oh shit, you.
But like, good.
Well, that's what kind of happened.
Even if we get annihilated, at least we'll have that last little bit. We'll be like, all right, guys.
We saw a little bit of that patriotism during 9/11. Like people put down their separate
right, but then
for
you
a
still,
little while.
But then you still had fucking Middle Eastern dudes getting their shops fucking smashed and be like, go.
Okay, but at least Middle Eastern. But like, you
had black
guys
and
white
guys. Indian dudes.
Like, hey, you fucking Muslim? I'm Hindu. I don't fucking care.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's still
it's like
black people and white people getting along really good right then, but it's still
like that guy who shot those Sikh Indian people, like,
yeah,
you thought they were Muslim, like they're Sikhs.
It's like, come on, man,
read
a book if you're gonna hate.
If you're gonna hate,
read a book first.
Yeah, but there it was interesting. The water tables in Florida rise about almost half a foot during that earthquake, and we're talking about thousands and thousands of miles away. You have an earthquake, and all of a sudden the water level. Like, people are like, the sea tides are going to rise, but you can have just something happen in the Earth's core, and all of a sudden water just starts coming out of the sinks, and the next thing you know, we're like 50 feet underwater here.
Yeah, not to like get all kumbaya, but it's all interrelated, whether it's humans or whether if the glaciers are melting eventually, you know, Miami's going to be underwater, you know? I mean, it's all related.
Yeah, I've talked about this before, like underneath Arctic. You know, the Greenland ice, and they were talking about global warming and stuff. It's out more and more coming out now. There's a huge volcanic crater right under all that.
And tons of oil reserves.
Well, but the thing towards, we worry about, how did the Great Flood happen? Like in the times of Noah and all these deluges that all these religions talk about. You know, was it because plastic? No, it wasn't because of plastic. It wasn't because of gases in the air. Sometimes it's just the earth. The earth heats up. Or like you had this incredible volcanic movement underneath the Arctic, you melt that much ice in that quick of a period of time, you're gonna have a rushing flood. You know what I mean? You don't know. It could be any matter of thousand fucking things, and here we are. A comet hits. Oh, listen, I finally figure out how to get along with my neighbor. You know, I finally
or how to give a woman an orgasm.
Yeah, finally. Yeah. You know, lasting more than 5 minutes.
Theoretically.
Yeah, you know, I finally found the clitoris. You know, or the G spot, and here comes a. Here comes Asteroid 2018, going to fuck up my day. You know, you don't know.
On that note, we'll be telling jokes tonight.
Now, you guys, well, you're on the road a lot. You don't really fly much, do you?
I do sometimes. I'm flying, because I try to book all my Florida stuff December to February. Some weeks can't get filled, so I am flying to Vegas.
Right.
On February, then I'll be back on the 11th.
Where are you performing in Vegas?
The LA Comedy Club at the Stratosphere.
So yeah,
it's a fun room.
Great room.
Yeah, every night Monday through Sunday. So yeah, so I'll be there. And then also, like, when I'm later in the year, I'm doing the Bahamas, so I'll be on the West Coast, so I'll have to fly from...
When are you doing the Bahamas?
July 9th through the 24th.
Yeah, I'm in there in November.
There's a club?
It's Joker's Wild, Joker's booked by Comedy Zone.
At the Atlantis, man. It's the best.
Last time I was there, was it this past July 4th or something? You go there for 2 weeks. I lost, like, 15 pounds. I would get up in the morning, just go right down to the gym. I went to the gym. Worked out, did everything.
They then don't
I
had alcohol in the Bahamas?
Oh, yeah. But then I went to the Lazy River. Once I left the gym, I went to the Lazy River, floated around a couple times, went back to my room, took a couple hits of the pipe, and then went to the lagoon to get some food. You know, it was like you're there for two weeks, man.
For me, it's like I don't have to drive anywhere.
Hell yeah.
I get to sleep in the same bed for 2 weeks straight. Like, I don't get that. And like,
is there anything better than that, by the way? Like, when, like, you talk about runs, like, I was thinking about me and Frankie Paul did some shows. We're in six nights, like six different places.
Yeah.
And it gets crazy. Oh, I got to check out. I got to check in. But
and it's that cliche, like, what town is it? You know, and sometimes you don't know what town it is.
You forget.
Yeah.
You know, where the hell am I? Yeah. But to be at 2,000, you love when you don't have to, you have several days in a row. Like, Looney Bin's great. You're there from Wednesday to Sunday, things like that. But, you know, that. And number two, when you do a casino gig, you walk down from the hotel, there's the room. Don't worry about parking.
Yeah, and the key of casino gig is to walk right through the casino to your room and not stop.
Oh, yeah. When I was at Reno and in Laugh Factory the New Year's Eve week, and, you know, Jay Hollingsworth, is that LA? Big Irish Jay. He's a poker player. So the first night we're there, we go to play poker. I'm down $400. And I'm thinking, fuck, there goes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, bad beat Dougie. Just, it sucked, you know? But I ended up making the money back in three-card poker at Harris in Lake Tahoe. You ever play three-card poker? Man, that's a crazy game.
Craps.
Yeah. I, that's a game you got to play. I got to learn how to play that fucking game.
What's three-card poker? Like one card?
You get three cards. Yeah. Everybody gets three cards. You could bet. You bet like an ante bet, like you're playing a nanny. And then there's a double or nothing, double or better bet, and that pays great odds. So let's say you get three of a kind.
Do you have a card down?
You get all your three cards down, once the dealer gets the cards, then you can look at it, and you're just trying to beat the dealer. And, you know, so that's your ante bet, right? And then let's say you got shit cards, you don't bet, you just play the cards, whatever, the double or nothing bet and your ante bet, you lose that. But then if you like your cards, then you put another bet down. So you got 10 and 10, and then let's say another 10.
Yeah.
So, like, when I'm down, first two hands in the three-card poker in Harris, I get three jacks. That pays 25 to 1. And I had $10 on the double or nothing bet. So, you know, ba-boom. Then I had a flush. Next thing you know, I'm up $850.
And that's when you walk away.
Exactly. Get the fuck out of there. Go find Starbucks.
See you later.
That's right. But I don't know. Like, when I fly, I got TSA pre-check. I always tell people, got to get that. You know, you don't have to take off your shoes.
Does it cost extra?
It's $85 bucks for 5 years. You get the thing.
Yeah, we have that in Canada too.
Yeah, it's nice. And then you go through a different line, a shorter line for the most part.
Oh my God!
You don't take your shoes off. You don't have to take your shit out of your laptop out of your stuff.
Oh, by the way, in, we only have to take off our shoes when we come to the States.
Yeah,
when we fly in Canada, nobody has to take off their shoes. And in Europe, it's pretty much the same thing. It's only here.
It's some
that one guy from Detroit, right? Remember that guy, the shoe bomber guy?
Yeah, Richard.
Yeah. One guy.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, but some places, some airports, they get more sophisticated equipment and stuff. So you get that, right? That's important to do. But the worst part about it is I hate being in certain zones. Like when I fly Southwest Airlines, I pay early bird, I get on first, right? That zone 6 and up, you know, you got carry on. You know, these people,
you're not going to get any.
These people, you're supposed to take the little one, put it under your seat, and the big one. These fucking people putting their jacket, their carry on, their purse, everything in there. American Airlines announces an aggressive new way to stop passengers from stealing overhead bin space. Right? You know, when you get there and there's all this shit and there's like no one sitting there, like, who the fuck put all this stuff over my seat? Right?
Right.
It says here that on long, blah, 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 of course, this shit's American Airlines has decided to do something about it. You must decide whether it's doing enough. Let's see. The airline is going to label the main cabin extra overhead bins with place cards that insist they are exclusive to passengers in that class. A little more class warfare, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay, but that still doesn't stop anyone from putting all their shit in the same classes.
I can tell you this. Like, I'm flying to Virginia tomorrow. on American, and I'm in zone 6. But once they announce zone 2, I go up anyway. I don't give a fuck.
Do they check?
I have it on the phone. I got my boarding pass on my phone. I just put it down. And probably because I'm flying by myself and not with five people.
Yeah, they
don't ever say anything. But zone 2, boom, I walk right through. I don't give a shit. Now I may be screwing myself here because there's a bunch of people. I'm going to start doing that. Next thing you know,
hey, there it goes.
Hey, you fucked it up for this guy. So that's what I hate. I hate when I fly and that shit happens. So don't put your shit in my space.
Somebody will fuck it up.
Yeah, there's somebody who always does.
That's like in the Bahamas. There used to be a restaurant. And so certain restaurants you get 50% off, but there was a glitch where they would fuck up and not charge you.
Right.
And then somebody decided to order like $500 worth of shit from that particular place, and they saw the spike, and then it ruined it for fucking everybody.
Caught it.
Yeah. Greed.
Yeah, I know that. Greed. Like, they used to be able to, like, when you go there, you bring a guest or two, and this one particular comic, I won't mention his name, he screwed it up because he had like his family all there, all staying, like 8 people staying in the room. And they found out, so now they charge you. Like, if you bring somebody, right, you got to pay a certain amount and all this shit, you know?
And a lot of clubs, if you would go there, they'd be like, they take care of the comics tap, but now you got comics that are raging fucking alcoholics, and they're like, you get 2 drinks for free.
Right.
Because a guy can't fucking contain
himself. How do you feel about that? Let's say you go to a comedy club that serves food, and they don't give you free food. Is that kind of a bad thing?
I mean, I would like at least 50% off, I think.
At least, nice. Right?
Right.
And if forget about alcohol, 50% off, fine. But what about water, like a bottle of water?
Oh, they did, but fuck that.
They better give you free water, right?
Water.
There's a club I just won't work. I won't work because I decided to work somewhere else because, A, they charge me 100% for the food, number one, every night I'm there. And number two, they charge for water.
That's ridiculous.
I'm like, are you really going to charge me for a bottle of water? I'm working here. You're not going to let me get a drink of water? You know? I thought that was kind of fun.
Back home?
I want to know where that club is.
We'll do it. Every major club gives you a meal a show. And you get...
Improvs are like that.
Raging alcoholics.
Improvs take care of you like that.
Two drinks a show.
Yeah. A couple
all across Canada. 2 drinks a show. I mean, in legit comedy clubs. If you're in shitholes, then you're in shitholes, right?
Yeah.
You guys play lottery? Do you play much lottery?
A little. Yeah. Not much. Well, he's never in one state long enough to collect a few wins.
Because that sucks if you got to go. Clerk tells,
I would drive back.
The clerk tells lottery winner his prize is only $5, but she picked the wrong man to scam, cops say. Do you trust your store clerk when you go to the lottery, get to check your lottery? Hey, what is this worth? No, it's only worth $5 here. And she pulls a $5 out of her pocket and gives it to you. Maybe you won a few $100. Will the employee tell you? That's what happened in Fort Myers. According to the fucking Florida Lottery Commission, a Winn-Dixie Liquors employee is accused of keeping the customer's $600 winning ticket and paying him $5. Better luck next time, Bill. Come back.
So, I looked at it.
Yeah.
And it says I get $600 because the rules are on the fucking thing.
Crystal Yvette Batten was charged with larceny grand theft on Monday. Batten, 42, was caught because she scammed the wrong customer, cops say. The man wasn't a customer. He was an agent working undercover for the Florida Lottery Commission's and Security Division. I guess she's done this before.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess it's happened before at that particular liquor establishment.
Funny.
Good riddance.
When the undercover agent approached Batten with the winning ticket, she scanned it and realized it was worth $600. But instead of telling the man, the investigator said she quietly pulled out $5 from her purse and told the man that she was the winning ticket payoff was only $5. So,
it's a real fucking jerk.
Make sure you check it, you know. We had a story here that the lady didn't check the ticket for like 3 months and it turned out to be a like $250,000 winner. And she almost threw it away. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. What'd you do with that winning lotto ticket?
I bought a comedy club.
What advice would you give to somebody who's thinking about opening a comedy club?
You know what? My first inclination, it would be don't do it unless like you really have a lot of time. And also, you have to know the industry. You can't just like, I think the best comedy club owners are people that were in the industry, were comics, and are not bitter about having been comics.
Right.
Right.
You know?
And they need to know who the fuck is funny. They need to have their finger on the pulse of who's actually going to come through and do a good job. And it probably shouldn't be just a comedy club. Probably have like something during the day, like fucking, you know, like let nerds come play video games and shit like that at the place and like have a separate room, like a small, like.
You definitely have to have other revenues.
Yeah, it's funny that back home, the most successful clubs all have bars downstairs or their restaurants where where they're running something right. 7 days a week, and then 3 to 5 days a week they're a comedy club.
Yeah, like
but it's
pub.
Over and above. Yeah,
yeah, it's I have a pub downstairs pub. Where it's like old video games. That's like the thing now. Like people like going to retro places yeah. and playing like old video games and shit.
Yeah. Here's our last story of the day. A man breaks Guinness record by walking across 120 feet of Lego bricks.
Oh, fuck.
You ever
man.
Step on a Lego piece?
I think this guy needs a girlfriend. Yeah. And or boyfriend, whatever.
Well, listen, I didn't know whether that's a fucking record. It says here on January 25th, a Virginia man broke an unusual and painful Guinness World Record when he walked barefoot across a 120-foot path composed of loose Lego bricks. And Tony Robbins is impressed. Russell Cavish shed his shoes on Sunday at the Chesapeake Montessori School to walk across the 120-foot Lego path and break the 85-foot world record from a barefoot Lego walk.
Yeah, if I'm Montessori school, I don't think I want to be associated with that particular feat, as it were.
Feet.
Yeah.
There's some comedy. Hey,
right there.
The successful which had been submitted to Guinness was aimed at raising money to... Fairbricks, a British charity that provides Lego sets to hospitalized children. Fairbricks made headlines on November when 2,000 Lego sets were stolen from one of the group's minivans. And now, oddly enough, that our headliner, Pat Garrity, was sleeping in because he couldn't find a hotel.
I sleep in a CRV.
That's right. Well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Pat Garrity for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
And, of course, Franco Tadeo.
Thanks for having me.
Coming in. And don't forget, tonight, Taurus, he'll be headlining the show. Pat will be headlining Goldfinger Comedy Club. Showtime's around 8:30. Be there tonight. It's only $10 to get in. What else are you going to do with $10?
Come say hi.
Come say hi, one way or the other. And remember, the club is separate from the strip club. You can go to the strip club if you want.
Don't judge it.
But, you know, but if in the meantime, we appreciate it if you come to the show. This weekend, Friday and Saturday, you can catch me at Cozzy's Comedy Club in Newport News, Virginia. I'll be there. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Follow our show at Wake Up Dougie on Twitter and join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. How can I get a hold of you, Pat?
You can find me on Twitter at PG Road Dog, capital P, capital G, Road Dog. You can find me on Facebook at Patrick Garrity. You can find me on Instagram at Garrity Grams with a Z. G-R-A-N-Z. Garrity.
There you go. How about you, Frank?
Facebook, Franco Tadeo, and Instagram, Funny Franco Tadeo. And I'm off Twitter, so that's it for me.
There you go. Thanks, guys, for listening. And don't forget to catch our shows on Bubba Army Radio Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays from 4 to 6 if you missed anything during the week. Besides from that, we'll be back next week with all new shows right here at the same spot.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Beaming light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination through the door to the world. Journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children of the sun, they started to climb.